That mood change that people saw yesterday, at least some people saw yesterday, could that be translated in the next few days into a political mood change? The DUP leader Arlene Foster was, of course, greeted warmly. She received the applause, and some of the newspapers have picked up on this today. The newsletter leads with a front page picture of Arlene Foster reaching across, stretching out, reaching across to Michelle O'Neill, the Northern leader of Sinn Féin, who's also reaching across. And it brought back memories for me of the statue in Derry, the statue across the divide statue, of two people struggling and stressing and straining to touch hands. Is that reading too much into it? The newsletter's political editor, Sam McBride, is with us, along with Andre Murphy, Anderson Town News columnist, and the former SDLP MLA, former Stormont Minister, Breege Rogers. Welcome to all of you. All of you. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
I can hardly speak today with this cold. Breege, did you sense a mood change?
Oh, definitely. I think there was a mood change. I think the warm welcome from Derry for Arlene Foster was definitely part of the mood change. And I think it creates a different context for the next few days for the talks, which is good because the context was very, very bad after the election. So I think I would be hopeful that they can reach agreement. When I look back on the Good Friday negotiations, and I think of the almost insurmountable things we had to deal with, prisoner releases, Sinn Féin going into government without decommissioning, the agreement that there would be no change in Northern Ireland without consent of the majority in Northern Ireland, all of those things, doing away with Articles 2 and 3, were huge issues at the time. People forget that. And yet we were able to find compromise. So I think what has to be done now is actually, in comparison to that, what's done is minor. There are a few issues outstanding which have to be dealt with. We need compromise. And the British government, of course, also has to play their part on the legacy issue and on the inquest in particular. So all of that is very, very doable.
Sam, gestures of generosity in the history of our peace process, as Breege has been saying, can sometimes make space for that kind of necessary compromise to move things along. But we're also talking about a battle of red lines here, aren't we?
We are. I think the most significant aspect of Arlene Foster going yesterday in immediate political terms is that it puts some more pressure back onto Sinn Féin, ironically. So actually, by going to Martin McGuinness's funeral, she removes one of the potential issues that may have been used against her to a certain extent. I think if she hadn't gone, and there was a big debate within the DUP and will be a big debate within the DUP over coming days as to whether that was the right decision, she would really have consolidated her position, I suppose, as a hate figure within nationalism, as someone who would have been a recruiting sergeant for Sinn Féin at the polls. And really, if that was to be the situation, then it would be a much more bullish Gerry Adams, who would be relaxed about going back to the polls, who would say, we're one seat behind, one final push, we can do it. That may well still happen, but I think it's much more difficult in the context of what happened yesterday.
Gosh, do you think she was surprised when she got the applause walking in?
I think that there must have been an element at a human level where she wasn't sure what sort of a response she was going to get. She really has, over the last 3 months, become such a lightning rod for nationalist discontent, really, that she can't really have known how she would have been received there. I don't think at a funeral that one would expect her to be booed or anything of that sort, but to be warmly applauded like that was really striking. And I think for me, that was both that and the image of the handshake between her and Michelle O'Neill was really the standout moment from the entire funeral.
How significant are those gestures, Andre?
I think I'm
we don't want
sure.
to get carried away here
no,
into optimism
see, I think,
necessarily.
I think that we need to get into perspective with what it was. So she went to a funeral of someone that she was a colleague with for 10 years. You know, you had ex-Taoiseach, former presidents, you had people from across the spectrum coming to the funeral. So, and Sam's right, if she hadn't have gone, it would have created something. But really, you know, she made a bit of a cross for herself that she nailed it on by not even saying quite early on that she was going to go. So that did create something with people really kind of going, you know, why is she making this about her?
Which suggested to some people that she was struggling with a moral dilemma,
well,
given her own family history troubles.
Yeah, and that was there. And then that did raise, you know, is she going to be someone who's struggling with her own family history around all of that, or is she someone who's going to be a leader for unionism in these talks to try and move the peace process forward? And I think that is a serious question that has to be asked. And hopefully,
and by going, did she move the process forward?
Well, we'll see today in the negotiations. I think we'll see very quickly whether things move forward. But I think that going along to a mass yesterday, and, you know, she was very well received, and outside people were queuing up to talk to her. She was very relaxed in herself. She looked very comfortable in her own skin and glad to be there, which was great to see.
Did you see people taking selfies with her?
I absolutely
as she came out
did.
Of the church?
I absolutely did. There was a group of people over waiting for Peter Robinson and Arlene Foster coming out, and she stopped and she waited and she chatted away to people, and that was nice to see. So, but the negotiations are different, and let's see what happens in those. Arlene Foster has to decide now whether she's going to take that mood and whether she's going to break the place that she was in, and whether that she's going to allow the DUP to continue to be used as a political sandbag for the British government on those big issues.
Do you think within Sinn Féin there might be some measure of movement around the issue of whether she needs to step aside during this public inquiry, because of what we've seen yesterday, because of that gesture of generosity?
I think that it's going to be interesting what the coming hours bring.
Hours? So let's, we're down to hours.
Well, we would need to be, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
we're
as someone
close.
Says to me, you know, yeah. You have to go back to your parties. You have to go and talk to people if you're going to have an executive up on Monday. So that's Sunday looked after, Saturday. So, you know, we are in an hour-by-hour situation. So let's see if the big issues can move. And I think the British government's role in this can't be underestimated. James Brokenshire just didn't seem like someone who was stepping up to the plate this morning.
Belfast City Councillor Alderman Chris McGimsey also on the line. Chris, good afternoon to you, sir. Welcome.
Well, thank you, yes.
What did you make of it? Do you sense a mood change?
Well, I think that I think Arlene Foster probably, to try and save the talk, I think Arlene Foster had to go to the Requiem Mass for Martin McGuinness as the first thing, and I think it was certainly heartening to see the sort of reaction she got there. But, I mean, we've got to look at the last week, really, in the round, and let's not forget over the last 2 or 3 days prior to that, Gerry Adams has been running about the country, most significantly in Newry the night before the funeral, laying down further demands and making things, I think, even more difficult. So I really don't know how quickly they can. There's no way I would believe that it can get anything done by Monday, but I mean, who knows? Everything's possible.
From your Facebook posting, Chris, you didn't seem to be very impressed by Mike Nesbitt attending the funeral.
Well, I thought, yes, I was. I mean, I didn't think there was any necessity for Mike Nesbitt. I think he was the only member of the Ulster Unionist Party that went. I mean, I certainly would not go. I think we've got to be realistic. Now, first of all, I mean, I was brought up, you don't speak ill of the dead, and we have to bear that in mind. And Martin McGuinness, the family man with the loving wife and children, we all feel for them. But Martin McGuinness, the IRA commander, can't be forgotten as well, because if we forget Martin McGuinness, the IRA commander, we forget the victims, and the victims are the ones that who really have been left behind in this whole process. And that's why, for example, I didn't think it was necessary for Mike Nesbitt to go, and I didn't feel it was necessary for other unionists to go as well.
Well, you went a bit further than that, didn't you, on Facebook? You said he didn't speak for you, he didn't speak for the Ulster Unionist Party in doing so, and you said that he was going along to what would essentially be a Provo Fest.
Well, that's what I thought it might well be. Now, it has actually. I mean, I've been proven to be wrong. It was a very dignified day, but it looked.
Do you regret those words now, Chris?
Well, I think Provo Fest was wrong. I mean, I thought it would be somewhat different, but I mean, the Provo Fest took place when Gerry Adams got the stage. Everything else was done with great dignity. I've got to say that, and I'm glad of that. But I mean, the point I made was that, I mean, when he put that post up, there wasn't one Ulster Unionist MLA liked it or commented. There was only one of our 80 councillors came in. So, I mean, it was clear that I would say the mood of the party was not along with Mike Nesbitt on that particular issue. But as I say, it seems that we're in a situation now, and we've got to differentiate between Martin McGuinness of the previous 30 years and Martin McGuinness of the last 10 years. And as I say, I don't want to trammel on the grave of anyone who has family and friends who are mourning him at the minute.
Yes, but you've got an interesting position, because you think it was right for Arlene Foster to go to this funeral,
no,
but it was wrong for Mike Nesbitt to go.
No, I didn't say that. I said it was inevitable that she would go. I didn't think it was right for her to go either, to be honest with you.
Oh, right, OK.
That's my personal view. But, I mean, again, I mean, I'm only a councillor. That's just my view. But until we can have a situation where victims are also brought along with the process, I think we're running into difficulties. Now, you'll have noticed there was two photographs were very interesting, I thought, in the papers. There was a photograph of thousands turning out to pay their respects for Martin. and there was photographs of about 25 to 30 people having a victim's service.